Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us this day. Today, as we reflect upon the difficulty it is sometimes just kind of waiting on God and that tension that can be, is a little bit what we'll be reflecting upon later in our message. But this time, I invite you to stand as we begin our service, as we always do, remembering who we belong to, beginning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for welcoming us into your house this morning, Lord, that you, the God of all, have waited for us here, and that you have for us, you know, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that we need, as well as the strength to get through every day. Lord, I pray that you would bless our worship this morning. Send your Spirit to work in our hearts and our minds, Lord, so that we can see you, Lord, as you truly are, and worship you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing praise to this wonderful God.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name.
Down there. Good morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm an elder here at St. Mark's, and this morning it's my privilege to read the first scripture reading to you. From the book of Leviticus, the 15th chapter, verses 25 to 28. When a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at the time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be unclean as long as she has the discharge, just as in the days of her period. Any bed she lies on while her discharge continues will be unclean, as in her bed during her monthly period, and anything she sits on will be unclean, as during her period. Anyone who touches them will be unclean. They must wash their clothes and bathe with water, and they will be unclean till evening. When she is cleansed from her discharge, she must count off 7 days, and after that she will be ceremonially clean. Thus concludes the first scripture reading.
Sermon text for today is Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Then when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that the power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." When Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Tabitha kaum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. It's now time for the children's message, kids. If you guys would come forward at this time, Mrs. Kasten has the message today.
Good morning. Okay, come on down. Just like usual, I have something for you. I always do that because I love you all so much. Okay, guess what? I also brought my Bible today because I highlighted some notes in here that I thought would be important. Look at you wiggling in there. Ooh. Okay, so let me ask you a question. What is that?
A kiss.
Right. And what four-letter word does a kiss remind you of?
Love.
Love. That's right. Hershey did a very good job of making us think that chocolate means love, didn't they?
And another one. And I know another.
And what about
Poland.
Your family? when your family, someone in your family gives you a hug, what does that tell you that they feel about you?
Love.
They love you, right?
Yeah.
So we love kisses, like we love chocolate, we love pizza. What about play dates? Do you love to go on play dates with friends?
Yeah,
right, these are all really good things. That's awesome. And so what we're going to talk about today, though, is a different kind of love. And I want you to understand that. It's really important that you know. Jesus has a different kind of love for us than, like, love for a candy kiss or pizza or a play date. And so we want to talk about how Jesus loves us in a very special and unique way by listening. Did you listen to the story today? And did you hear what happened? Okay, so I have some notes, and they're highlighted in my Bible and here. So today's reading was actually two stories, wasn't it? And the first story, in the middle of it, there's a second story. So it's sort of a sandwich, okay? There's a beginning and end, and there's something in the middle. So we're going to talk about the first story first. So Jairus, he is a respected Jewish leader in the community. He goes to the synagogue where he helps out. And what's a synagogue?
Church.
It's like a church, right, in Jesus' day. So he's very highly thought of. He's important. And he has a 12-year-old daughter. Did you hear that part? She was 12. And so his daughter is very sick, but he believes that Jesus can heal her. So he seeks Jesus out to ask for help. And Jesus agrees, but Jesus gets interrupted on the way to go to Jairus' house. He's interrupted by who?
A woman.
A woman, a grown-up, right. And so by the time he makes it to Jairus' house, the little girl is?
Dead.
She is dead. That's right. So we're sad about that, and we're wondering, what's going on? Why didn't you hurry? So in fact, what happened is he was interrupted by this lady because she had been sick for how many years?
12.
12 years, and the little girl was 12 years old, right? So she also was a person who had spent all her money on doctors trying to get better, but she just got worse. So was she like Jairus and well thought of in the community and very important?
No.
No, she was not. Because she was sick and she was bleeding and people thought that was not a good thing and you weren't even supposed to go near her. But you know what she did? Jairus had gone and asked Jesus to come heal his daughter, but she was sneaky. She didn't seek him. She sneaked up and she touched what?
His clothes.
His clothes. She believed that all she had to do was touch his clothes and she would be healed. So the important thing to understand is there was a woman, right? So Jairus, was he a man? Yep. Men are highly thought of in the community and women aren't. Because here's the test, all right? See if you can answer these questions for me. So he was important. Was she?
No.
No. Did he ask Jesus to touch the girl or to heal the girl?
Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
But she was sneaky. Now, did Jesus touch the girl to heal her?
No, he didn't.
He took her hand, right? Jesus touched her. Did he touch the woman?
No.
Nope. Every single thing is the opposite so far, so we're trying to figure out how this story relates. So was the lady sick for 12 years?
Yes.
Was the little girl sick for 12 years?
Yes.
No. The little girl was 12 years old, right? But the lady was sick for 12 years, so that's not the same. So she was a grown-up. Was Jairus' daughter a grown-up?
No.
No, that's not the same. So what was the same? Both of them
were sick.
They were sick, but they believed, right? So Jairus believed Jesus could heal his daughter, and the lady believed that Jesus could heal her. That was the same. All they had to have was belief that God could do this through Jesus. So let me ask you this. Can anyone come to Jesus for help?
Yes.
Yes, of course. And can you come to him with anything at all?
Yes.
Yes, of course. If you have a problem at home or with a friend or at school. But if you're happy and you want to tell Jesus you love him and you love your friends and you love your family, you can come to him in good times and in bad. Whether we're little or big, sick or well, right? That's the most important thing about this story. Not a lot of stories in the Bible talk about children. This is a really special one because Jesus talks about children in it. So let's pray, and afterward, I have a couple friends who are going to help me give each one of you a kiss if your mom says that it's okay. A chocolate kiss, okay? So fold our hands. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us in the most special way. And thank you for loving us all, no matter how big or small. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Okay.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, Pastor Bob talked about how there are times in our life where we might ask the question, God, do you care? A lot of that was shaped by, you know, how it was that Jesus calms the storm and the intense fear that the disciples experienced at a moment, wondering, is this the end? And I don't mean with what I'm about to say to minimize experiences of intense fear, especially when there's concern of, is my life going to be over? But I have a different sort of thing that I want to reflect upon today with regard to, God, do you care? At times, God will test our faith. And there are not times that we relish in, times that we necessarily would ask for, but God has his reasons. And especially around the topic, the issue, the experience of health can be one of those times where you find yourself going, are you there, God? Are you seeing what's going on? And so we have two health instances in our text for today. Imagine that Jesus has just come back across the lake, the Sea of Galilee. And immediately there's a crowd that sees him and says, yes, awesome, we want to see more of this guy. We want to hear more of what he has to say. And they're gathered around, but you're a parent and you have a sick child. It's been going on for a while. You did the standard things. You called the doctors, hoping, expecting that they would be able to address the issues that your child is facing. But it's not working. And you're starting to get desperate. You hear about how Jesus is nearby, close enough that you could get to him. And you go, and perhaps the first hurdle is seeing the crowd around him. What if I break through the crowd? That's going to be a chore to get through. Is he even going to listen to what I have to say? But there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And Jesus went with him. Whew. Awesome. But as they're going through, there's a great crowd that follows and thronged around Jesus. I can only imagine the frustration. You finally get what you were expecting to be your savior of your daughter coming with you. And he is hindered. He is delayed in the swiftness that you were hoping for. Perhaps this man, Jairus, is wondering, why doesn't Jesus just dismiss the crowd and say, I have something really important I have to get to? There was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. I'm going to come back to the woman. She deserves her own point and reflection. But again, I can only imagine Jairus' added frustration. Further delays, it's already difficult getting there, and now Jesus takes time with somebody else to heal somebody else. My daughter is dying. And while Jesus was still speaking, there came from Jairus' house someone who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" And I can only imagine what this father is experiencing. All the hope that he had, maybe, just maybe, this Hail Mary of an attempt will work out. And the worst news has just been delivered. We're too late. Maybe if there hadn't been a crowd, maybe if he hadn't bothered with this woman and her problem. And I have to imagine the temptation was there to just crumble in despair and give up. But Jesus says, overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And Jairus decides to continue on this faith journey and say, "Okay, Jesus, I don't know what's going to happen, but let's do this." Jesus allowed no one to follow him except for Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when it had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child's not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Admittedly, this always had struck me a bit odd. My wife and I enjoyed watching The Chosen this past Lent. And I'm not elevating The Chosen as, you know, where I probably wouldn't preach on it as saying this is for sure what happened. But it did give an interesting instance there where it suggested that perhaps these were professional weepers and wailers. In other words, people who didn't actually care about the girl or the family, but they were hired to do this. At the very least, that gave me an explanation for why possibly would someone laugh at this. If I was truly mourning the death of someone and someone says, "Oh, they're not really dead, they're just sleeping," that would sting. Regardless of the situation, these people, whoever they are, laugh at Jesus, at his ludicrous statement to them. So Jesus put them all outside and took the child's father and mother, those who were with him, and went in to where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking. She was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And Jesus strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Which is pretty consistent in the Gospels. If you think someone perhaps has died, but they've actually been brought back to life, they eat something. That's why Jesus says, "Hey, do you have any fish?" after he's been risen from the dead. Proof, he's not just a ghost or a spirit. No, he is actually flesh. What I'm trying to get at here with Jairus' story is the difficulty that we face sometimes, whether it be health or something else, is kind of an ongoing thing. Where we find ourselves wondering, "God, do you care? Are you there? Are you seeing what's happening right now? This doesn't seem good. And I believe that you are a good God. What's going on?" And there's times in our life where we have that struggle, that tension. Because what we seem to think is truth and good and the way things ought to be isn't quite lining up with our experience. And we wrestle with this. We wrestle with this tension. And there's times in our lives where God is the one who is allowing us to experience these things. God is the one who is allowing us to be in a place of discomfort. To be in a place where we recognize, you know what? The only way I'm getting out of this is if God is the one leading me out. Because I'm not getting out of this alone. And while we don't know from the text just how long this had gone on, how long this experience was for Jairus, for his wife, for his daughter who's sick. What we do know is then the other story that's sandwiched in between, a rough idea of how long this woman's plight was. There was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. What was life for her? Every single day, I imagine, I would guess some energy drain from that experience. Just that health complications alone is difficult. But you have as well the significance of what life in the community of faith was like for her. Because if a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the discharge she shall continue in uncleanliness. As in the days of her impurity, she shall be unclean. What does this mean? Every bed on which she lies, all the days of her discharge shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. Everything on which she sits shall be unclean, as in the uncleanliness of her menstrual impurity. And whoever touches these things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until evening. But if she is cleansed of her discharge, she shall count for herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. In other words, In other words, for the entire time that she was experiencing this discharge, she would not be allowed to go to the synagogue. She would not be allowed to be a part of the community worship. The going to the place that perhaps, hopefully, as you are wrestling with your experience, there you might hear the truths of God and be comforted. Be reminded how it is that God is faithful and just. As well, no one would touch her. I know not everyone is, you know, super touchy-feely with regard to how you show love. But imagine having no handshake, no fist bump, no high five, no hug, zero physical contact with other people for 12 years. Imagine that every bed that you slept on would be considered needing to be addressed constantly. Every chair that you sit in. This is a hard 12 years. And what is worse, she also did what you would hope and expect to do. Let us go to the doctors. Spend all the money that we have if we can fix this issue, because life feels like hell. And I can only imagine what her faith journey was like in that time. Every single day, I imagine, you have a decision. Will I continue to trust that God cares about me and my situation? Or will I erect another brick in the wall that divides me and him? And day after day for 12 years, this choice is before her. And day after day after 12 years, it just compounds the experience that she's had. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. A huge no-no for someone in her situation. To be that close to a crowd where you might accidentally bump someone, and they unknowingly were unclean. And if they unknowingly were unclean and went to the synagogue, it could be really bad for them. And to touch Jesus' garment. She who was unclean, he who was holy. What might happen? But she said, you know, if I touch his garments, I'll be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowds and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "Jesus, are you looking around? Everyone is touching your garments. Why are you asking who touched my garments?" But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And I'd like to think the reason why Jesus took the time to pause and ask, "Who touched my garments?" wasn't because he didn't already know, but he did it for her sake. He did it so that she could be affirmed in what she did. She didn't take from the Almighty. She didn't enact her own power and will and force and make it happen. No, I believe that she responded to the Holy Spirit saying, "Hey, if you just touch his garment, you'll be healed." What a crazy idea. But you know, it just might work. All right, let's try this. So she comes forward and says, "What happened?" And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." And it's a wondrous story to hear how it is that a woman who had suffered for so long had her suffering ended. And we marvel at the wonders of what God is able to do. And at the same time, we have our own struggles, don't we? Whether it's chronic health issues or any other issues that are ongoing, that we ourselves experience that daily question of, will we continue to trust that God has our best in mind? Or will we put another brick on the wall? And on we build sometimes. "God, you didn't do things how I expected you to, and this is miserable. God, this person that I love is suffering so much. Why are you letting this happen? God, this is miserable. Why am I experiencing this? Where are you?" And on, we erect a wall of our own making, creating further separation from ourselves and the position that God calls us to be in of a loving and trusting relationship. A relationship where he daily and richly provides me with all that we need to support this body and life. But we cloud our perception and we cover up our God. Any further experience of what we expect now, our expectations shaped by this wall, adds another brick, another layer, until maybe one day we are completely surrounded by it, if we allow it. I think one of the hardest things, sometimes the very first brick, is because we experience something and we feel like we can't actually be honest with our Creator. In other words, we might be so livid, so angry at what we are experiencing that we want to scream. But we're pious. We know better. God is holy. How dare we come to the Almighty and say, "This is wrong"? So we keep that inside. We hold it in. We don't actually speak to God. We're like, "Well, he knows. He knows how I feel." And we miss how that can be the very start of the division that we have erected. When really the important thing, the best thing to do, not because God is deserving of it, not because he's actually done anything wrong, but because us in our limited perspective don't see the bigger picture of what God is doing, and that's hard. And the best thing to do in that time is to say, God, this is awful. Like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why this is happening, but it stinks, and I hate it. And a wondrous thing can happen when you are honest and genuine with God. Like a child coming to a parent saying, I don't like this at all. And the parent has the bigger picture, the knowledge, the understanding of why this is taking place. And the parent hopefully patiently listens to the child, listens to their frustrations, and loves them. And says, I know. I know you don't like this. I know you don't understand what's going on. But it's going to be okay. We have our limited perspective and experience from the time that we're born to now and until we die. As compared to the Almighty who is everlasting, who knows all and sees all. And I'm grateful that he doesn't smite me when I am honest and genuine with him. Not that he, again, is deserving of my anger. But thanks be to God that he forgives me. Because after I've been honest with him and say, this is what I am experiencing right now. And he stays and he listens and he loves me. And instead of erecting a wall between me and him, there's genuine relationship. And I say, I'm sorry for getting angry, God. I'm sorry that I couldn't see the way things are. I still can't. But thank you for loving me anyway. And he forgives me. And what's important, if you are somebody who's ever erected a metaphorical wall between you and God, something that is a barrier, something that whenever the one topic comes up or you experience something in life again, it kind of gets at you. Just try to go back to when that first brick was placed and say, what happened? I had an experience recently with a lady who was struggling with this. She said, I really struggle with being thankful. Like, I know God provides for me, and I have a thankful journal, and, you know, I write, thanks for this, but I the words I write down, I don't actually experience. And my encouragement to her was, well, pray about that. Be honest with God and say, God, I don't know what is happening that I can't be thankful. I know these things abstractly true, but I am struggling with being thankful. Reveal to me by your Spirit, what is the barrier that I've put up? What's the problem here? What's the tension? Why is there this divide between us? Her story's not done. I don't know exactly how that's going for, but I hold that up as encouragement for all of us to consider. To not just let the brick wall lay where it is, but instead, be genuine and honest and go to your Heavenly Father who loves you and cares about you and desires a genuine relationship with you. He's not going to immediately take away all the struggles that you have. And even this is for your benefit, and that's the tension, the difficulty in seeing. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Or as Jesus describes in John, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And my Father is the vine dresser. And he prunes the branches. Why? So that they might bear good fruit. So Sometimes the difficulties we experience that we might, if we're writing our own stories, say, let's just avoid those. Let's have just a nice, easy life. Yeah? That sounds nice. And yet God calls us to something greater than that. He calls us to a relationship with him, which includes having faith, having trust, saying, okay, what I'm walking through right now, I believe you are walking with me, God. And I believe you're going to help me out through the other side. And I believe that having come through this with you, that fruit will be born. That the fruit of faith will be given to me by you. And this fruit of faith is a blessing for us who have gone through it. Having gone through difficult times, when something that is relatively speaking lesser occurs, hopefully the result is you saying, okay, God got me through that. I know he can get me through this. This is chump change compared to what I already have been through with God walking alongside of me. Or when other difficulties come, as they always do, you can hearken back and say, okay, God, I mean, this is definitely worse than that, but you got me through that. Maybe, just maybe, you'll get me through this too. But the fruit of faith is not just for you. But no, the fruit of faith that God gives us is to support and care for each other as well. As we share with other people how it is, as we look at the difficulties in life, because in a sinful, broken, rebellious world, difficulties come. Hardships come. Pain comes. And we all experience it. But we all have an opportunity, a chance to share with each other how it is that God has helped us through. How it is that God has been walking with us this entire time and he has not abandoned us in our struggles. For God is faithful. So my encouragement to each of you this day is when the choice comes before you on any given day, will I continue to trust that God has my best interest in mind, even if I can't understand it or see it? Or will I build another brick? Choose life and not death. And in those times of struggle, lean even heavier into the one who has created you, who has redeemed you, and who has sanctified you. For he loves and cares for you more than you could even know, understand, or imagine. And it might look a little different, just as he cared for a 12-year-old girl or a woman who suffered for 12 years. But just as God cared for them, God cares for you in the midst, in the times of your struggles. Put your trust in him. Amen.
Untamable, possibly fall to our knees as we humbly grow.
unstoppable, uncontainable. He plays the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly
Let us stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed this morning. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. One of the things we get to do here at St. Mark's, we just got done confessing that we believe in the Holy Christian Church and the communion of saints, and we're going to exercise that a little bit this morning. This is one of the ways we pray for each other, hopefully not the only way we pray for each other, but we are going to be having our prayer and care Sunday this morning, and so if you've been asked to pray, please come forward. The rest of you can please have a seat. We will have Kevin in the prayer chapel over there, and Phyllis is going to be in there with him, and Pastor Josh is going to be in the back on the other side for anybody who doesn't really want to come all the way up front. And okay, very good. Outstanding. If you guys, at this point, let us pray. If you would like prayer, please come forward or to either place in the back. And if you're not coming forward to pray, please sing the songs that we are here to, you know, that we're to worship our God. And also, if you'd be praying for the people coming forward, you may not know exactly why they're here, but you don't need to know. You can pray for them anyway, right? So let's pray.
But that
My friends, please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have welcomed us into your presence this morning and that you give us such incredible gifts, Lord, as this forgiveness of sins, this teaching from your word, Lord, an opportunity to return praise and thanksgiving to you for all that you have given us. And Lord, now we come into the time of our service, Lord, where we receive your supper, Lord. The very forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, Lord, that we so desperately need. Lord, you are truly a God who provides every good thing. And Lord, as we know that you provide for us, Lord, we also remember, Lord, at the same time we struggle. We all have the burdens that we carry, Lord, from life, the things that are not going as we want them to, Lord, the effects of sin. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be present in our lives. Help us, Lord, to remember the depth and the richness and the persistence of your love, that in all circumstances, Lord, you are with us and you carry us, you give us strength. And Lord, we pray for those people who are going through these difficult times right now, Lord. We pray for those who are struggling with sickness, Lord, who are watching loved ones struggle with illness and infirmities, Lord, we pray that you would be with all of us in all these situations, Lord. Give us strength and comfort us, Lord, with the promise of your presence and the promise of eternal life, Lord, when all of these infirmities, all of these sicknesses, Lord, all these injuries and illnesses will be gone forever. Lord, I pray that you would be with all those who are struggling in this world with wars and upsets, Lord, within the governments. I pray that you would continue to speak your peace, Lord. Use the circumstances, the situations to open people's heart to the gospel, and then send your people, Lord, your ambassadors, Lord, to share your love so that in the darkest of times, Lord, hope may come, because, Lord, you are the God of all hope and the God of all promise. Lord, we pray for the young families of our congregation. We pray that all these young children, Lord, that their faith would continue to grow, that their parents would continue to instill the faith in them at all times, Lord, by teaching and by practice, by the examples that they live out in their lives, as well as the words that they say, so that the children will know you, Lord, and know how to live with you in this world. Lord, all these things we bring to you, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night where he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said to them, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Go.
My friends, we have once again received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from him with the promise of strength and forgiveness as we live out this life in this world. The God knew exactly what his people were going to need, that we would go out into the world and we would fall short of his glory, short of his expectation, and that he would receive us into his presence and give us forgiveness. And then just as we're about to go back out into the world to struggle again, he gives us in the same meal strength. He feeds us. He nourishes us. And he goes with us. So as we have received this very body and blood, and as we know that his promise is true, depart in his peace. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing as we go our way this day. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up and sing the final song of praise to him again.
So with the sinner's heart.
My dear friends, first of all, I'd like to release the Sunday school kids. Miss Lauren is gone this weekend. How dare she? Vacation? I don't get it. Anyway, but nevertheless, she is gone this weekend, so the kids can go back and meet Mrs. Falls and Mrs. Kara in the back, and then we'll take her off to Sunday school. The rest of you, don't forget about Dying to Donate tomorrow at Camilla's. We just were able to send a little bit more money down to Guatemala, both for food and also for, rehab, to restore their community laundry facility. They have a, and we'll give pictures and show you exactly what they're doing and stuff later. But I want to let you know that as we fundraise, that stuff is going directly down to the people that we're serving there. God's blessings, God's, and we'll see you in the back.